Visiting today with Dr. Brett Carver, OSU Wheat Genetics Chair, talking about the wheat breeding program today. And I was excited because you mentioned we're in kind of a log jam for wheat breeding, but we see some horizon.
Yes, and the horizon is quite bright. Yeah. And a lot of things on the horizon. And I had to go through and sort of separate all that out. But, you know, as far as what really stands out might be, you know, what I see on the horizon first. It's probably going to be an experimental line that we call 18510 right now. It's just a Ruby Lee Pioneer derivative that I think has a lot of potential for a lot of places in Oklahoma. And that's what we like to see, something that can go far and wide in Oklahoma.
Yeah, you mentioned the Double Stop Legacy launch where you're going to kind of be maybe mixing a few things to make just magic, basically.
Yeah, well, we're just getting more out of the Double Stop genetics. It's really our best yield, protein, quality, and all those stress tolerances that we talk about, all wrapped into one genetics. But we've only been able to capitalize on that in our Clearfield line. So if it's not herbicide tolerant Clearfield, then you don't really get the benefit from Double Stop. That's changing. That's what's happening here.
Well, and you've been messing with Double Stop for a while now in hopes to kind of get something.
Yeah, this wasn't an overnight venture, I can tell you that. And it's actually a little bit harder to go from something that's traded to something that's not traded. Mm-hmm. That does seem maybe counterintuitive, but to remove the trait, we can't just, you know, we can't go out there and apply the herbicide, because then we're just going to select the herbicide-tolerant plants. Well, we want to select the herbicide-intolerant plants in this case, so we have to do a lot of more progeny testing. We have to do genetic testing that we normally wouldn't do in selecting for traded, Clearfield traded germplasm.
And you mentioned two varieties, the 8510 and then the Coaxium. When you're mixing those, what are you finding?
Well, now, the Coaxium is going to be separate from the 510. The 510 will not be Coaxium. But the Coaxium, now that's another kind of trait, another herbicide tolerance trait that we have not had any experience in until just recent times. I mean, this is new game for us. And we're learning as we go, but we wanted to make sure to start out on the right foot, genetic foot in this case. And I think we did that. I think we have something that's really adapted well to Oklahoma. What we don't know yet, and I hope to find out in this next crop year, is how much tolerance do we have to the herbicide? Because if the wheat plant can't survive the herbicide treatment, then we don't have any good there.
Well, and you mentioned this is a good year for a learning experience, right?
Yeah, well, every year, you know, it brings something good. It's just something different, and 22 was very different.
Well, you talked about we haven't had a wheat variety release in a while, but we may have one, and you said possibly 2023?
Well, no, I think if everything goes right, we get the seed production that we should be getting this coming crop year, we can announce something by this time next year. I would like to announce something in February, actually. Yeah. But we won't know as far as the seed production until June. So we'll see.
And you mentioned the rules have changed, though, that kind of make it a little bit harder.
Well, now, yes. Okay, so now that's the Coaxium rules. Mm-hmm. We won't have a Coaxium variety out. Okay. That will not be announced. I can say that for sure.
Yeah.
We need our 2 to 3 years of statewide testing to do that. But on the other non-Coaxium material that we had that I've talked about, the Double Stop Legacy and the 18510, even a scab-resistant line, I think those are genetics we can talk about and possibly talk in terms of release.
So what are the first rules of business or the first rules of business for 2023, you think?
Oh, gosh, it's hard to really to separate that out as far as number one. But first of all, we want to get a crop in the ground.
Yes.
We hope for good weather. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have a very good start last year. So if we can get the places we want to test and we get that wheat germplasm out there, I will be happy. But from there, you know, we have a lot of options to pursue in terms of commercial genetics.
And today you mentioned hard red winter wheat, kind of, you know, being the yawn wheat. Why?
Well, it just does a lot of things. It just, you know, there's just nothing really special about something that does everything, you know, and that's what hard red winter wheat does. Now, the thing that with hard red winter wheat that you have to compensate for is it doesn't do excellence. It doesn't do excellence in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. So we make up for that by adding vital wheat gluten, or just gluten. You see that on the labels, gluten.
Yeah.
And that's on there because hard red winter wheat is insufficient in meeting certain needs, like to make a hamburger bun that holds a hamburger. Mm-hmm. You know, you need a tougher piece of dough in that case to do that. Well, you you accomplish that with gluten. Mm-hmm. And when you add the gluten, you have to add some other additives or conditioners that make up for some of the deficiencies you get by adding gluten. Mm-hmm. It's just a cascade of effects. So what we'd like to do is, okay, let's rely a little bit less on adding gluten. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that what we have in the native state is sufficient to make those buns, to make that sandwich bread, to make that whole wheat bread. It has to go through a lot of stress to make. And that's what we have done now with this new line of genetics. We call it BX7. It's just the name of a certain protein that's in wheat that's natively or naturally present in wheat. And we've managed to combine that with other genetics. We don't really know what it is. Mm-hmm. That's going to be research that happens. Yeah. That farmers won't hear about too much, but we need to answer that question. Well, what is it about the Gallagher background that when we put that gluten and that BX7 into, we get magic? Mm-hmm. We never knew before now.
And you're wanting that stability.
Right. That's one way that you measure
how
tough a dough can be, is how stable is it when it's put under stress. And when it's put under stress, you're mixing it. Basically.
And you said it was interesting because you said right now it's at, like a 8 minute?
Yeah. A typical hard red winter wheat would be as low as 5 minutes, depending on the environment. 5 to double stop is kind of the upper end. Mm-hmm. Would be 20 minutes. Baker's Ann also in that upper end. We're talking about not 20 minutes, and not even 40 minutes. We're talking about 60 minutes.
Yeah, and so, what does that mean?
Well, it just means that, for one, the first thing that comes to mind is, oh, we may not need to add the vital wheat gluten to accomplish the things we want to do in making all these different food products. It's already there. Mm-hmm. We already had that strength. We don't need to add it in. And that, in the long run, what that does is it makes that label look a lot cleaner.
Sure.
Because we're not adding gluten. And we're not adding the things we have to correct for with the gluten being added. And you see those names on the label as sometimes called dough conditioners. Mm-hmm. There may be some other names on there, but they're generally called dough conditioners. Or there may be one you might see is enzymes. Mm-hmm. Just a generic word. Enzyme is a protein that's used to compensate for the protein you don't have present in the flour, the native flour itself. So a lot of those ingredients should not appear on the label then, in this case. That makes a cleaner label. I know consumers really want that. I would like to see that myself.
Well, it sounds like we've got pretty exciting times coming up for the wheat group.
Well, we do. A lot of choices, too.
Well, thanks for visiting with us.
All right. Thank you.